number 46. Welcome to These Fantastic Worlds, the science fiction and fantasy podcast by Jake Jackson. I'm a bit croaky today, so apologies for the delivery. Today's story is called Lifer, and it's in the post-apocalypse series. Sometime in the not-too-distant future. Return protection. Humankind adopted a bioprocess that enabled total surveillance of individuals and all their actions. The process was known as LIL, for lifelong, and those who took part in the first wave were called lifers. While some rebelled against LIL as intrusive and authoritarian, their resistance reduced over time, as the new biotech also embedded a body preservation protocol, increasing lifespans exponentially for those who participated. With a simple injection, the mitochondria of the first generation was altered and from then on inherited, so spreading its effects organically. In the first century alone, almost 90% of the world's population submitted to LIL. The rest simply died of old age. On a balcony, high in the Monroe Mountains of the Scottish state of Eurasia, where new townships had been carved deep into the land, Gruach looked down at the sweeping countryside, the valleys, the frothing snowcaps, and wondered at the reflections of other townships along the mountain range. She turned to the viewer next to her. "So beautiful. Have you been up here before?" Gruach was dressed in simple grey clothes with knee-length breeches, and her hair was cropped cut as crisply as the morning air. "Ah, yes, it's lovely, isn't it?" Eileen half smiled and seemed to sigh. "I'm Gruach," she nodded at Eileen. "Indeed. Eileen, will you come to lunch soon?" "Ah, yes, I guess. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do." "Of course." Eileen looked out again. "I love how the old world and new combine so effortlessly up here." "Yes, it seems extraordinary. I didn't even know so many places existed. Will you join me for lunch and we can chat a little more?" "Okay, I'm sure that would be fine." Gruach frowned. "I don't know why I said it that way. Yes, I'd be happy to." She smiled now, relieved. "Well, that seemed a little difficult to decide," Eileen teased Gruach. "Yes, strange," she laughed, as they turned back towards the stairs. "I'm hungry. I'm keen to meet new people." She brushed the palm of her hand against her thigh. "Aye," Eileen gathered her new friend, and they descended the carved stone steps that curled down the next level in the mountain home, where a wide communal hall awaited. Many others entered from various staircases and lifts, so a flow of people welled together at the edges of the hall. "Hello," a man waved from another staircase. Hi, Gruach responded uncertainly and leaned in to Eileen, who nodded back at the man. "Who's that?" "Just a friend. We'll meet up at the table over there." "Oh, you seemed a little sad. Were you together once?" Gruach queried. "Oh, no, nothing like that," Eileen laughed, just as two other people brushed past. Oh, sorry, ah, how are you? Lovely to see you." The pair, a man and a woman, familiar and laughing together, rushed on. "And you too?" Gruach tilted her head, her eyes wide and eager. "Oh, it's so good to meet people." They stopped in a small line, waiting for the tables to be ready. Eileen nodded at several others, all of whom looked at Gruach and smiled. "Do you know how old you are?" Eileen whispered. "Oh, that's a strange question," Gruach giggled. "When I was young, that would have been regarded as a dark secret." "Ah, I'm just making conversation." No, I don't mind. I just..." Gruach faltered. She rubbed her palm against her thighs again. "Are you okay?" "I don't know." She returned another wave. "Another friend of yours, I suppose?" "Yes. And mine, now, I suppose." Gruach's voice seemed darker. Her eyes tightened and her breathing shortened. "Shall I call a medic?" "Oh, why? I just..." Gruach scratched at her hand. "Everyone's so nice here, but I can't remember anything else, and I..." Eileen raised her wrist and spoke into it. "Code red." Two men appeared from the side, and without pause jabbed a hypodermic injector into Gruach's neck. They held her up straight and departed, leaving an untroubled Eileen watching the final table arrangements. Gruach woke. She lay in a cubicle on a flat surface, a translucent lid in front of her face. From the head of her confinement, she saw cables seeking upwards into the machinery embedded in the ceiling. A face appeared. There was no smile and no warmth in the eyes. "She's awake," Gruok shouted. "Where am I?" "Don't worry, you're safe." "I'm not safe, I can't move." "Just a precaution. You'll be able to leave very soon." Another face appeared. "We have some questions, and you'll be allowed to leave again." "How old are you?" "What? I'm something like 988 years. Do you know why you're here?" "I guess because I killed my husband and his family." "Your family?" "All right, yes, my family. I can't say I'm happy about it." "No, I'm sure they aren't either." "I suppose not, but they shouldn't have belittled me." "So they deserve to die?" "I suppose not." "Indeed. What are you going to do with me?" "Well, if it wasn't for the unfortunate side effect of the Lil program, which reduces fertility in most lifers, except for some lucky few, then the state would have ended you." "Ah, so you need me." A burst of gas clouded the capsule. Grok's eyes struggled, but soon submitted to the drug-induced sleep. On a balcony high in the Monroes, Gruok looked down at the valleys below, and she turned to the viewer next to her. "So beautiful. Have you been up here before?" Gruok was dressed in simple clothes, knee-length breeches, with her cropped hair cut as crisply as the morning air. "Oh, yes. It's lovely, isn't it?" Aileen half smiled and sighed. Thank you for listening. It was a bit of a battle today against the rain and some sirens and the odd other sound here and there. So I've also got this croaky voice, but the show must go on. Thanks again, and I'll see you here next time. This is Jake Jackson. Goodbye.